for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2017 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, November the 25th, 2017. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on mental attitude.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we come before your mighty throne. We thank you for being such a mighty God. Thank you for letting us know you, Lord, a little bit. We want to know you more. We praise you, Lord.
We praise you, Lord. We say, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
God, we exalt you. Worthy are you, King of kings, Lord of lords, creator of the universe, everything in it. Your name is above every name, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Praise you, Lord, for the power in your name. Father, I pray that I'll be a tree of life, that rivers of living water will come forth from our innermost being. Father, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon all of us, Lord. Pour out your Spirit upon us, Father. Your mighty healing, delivering, resurrection, saving, delivering power. We thank you, Lord. Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable to you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I just commit my way to you. And Lord, you said you'll establish my thoughts. We just thank you that we've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. And we just bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. We bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth, forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against us. Father, we pray a special covering of warrior angels over us and our president, over this camp, every person here, to boomerang back on the enemy, every curse and assignment that's been sent against us in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. We cancel those curses. We declare the boulders they roll will roll back and crush them. The nets they hide, their own feet will be caught. In the pits they dig, they'll fall in. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I thought of a scripture when Randy was teaching where it says, if any man is determined to know the will of God, he will know if the teaching is from me. So in my opinion, I'm not want to judge who's lost and who's saved, but the mentality of a person that gets involved in all that mess, and it's not in the Word, they're not determined to know the will of God. Because if they were, they would know the teaching is not from God. It's another gospel and another Jesus. And as I said yesterday, you can always know if a person is a true prophet or if a meeting is of the Lord, because they're going to use the Word of God. There's going to be repentance. There's going to be holiness. The Bible says without holiness, no man will see the Lord, period. And you actually, there's just defilement to come. And in my opinion, that the music, a lot of the music that I've listened to at these revivals, and I've listened to the YouTube, the videos and stuff, and been to some of these places, ushers in the beast. Rock music, or music with a rock beat, is demonic. Bill Gothard teaches in his seminar that, he tells the story of a missionary whose children were playing Christian rock music, and they rebuked this missionary, and they said, why are you letting your children play music that calls forth evil spirits? And the missionary said, it's Christian words, and it doesn't matter. If you can't hear the melody, it's not the Lord. And it actually ushers in the beast, not the Lord. So bless the Lord. So be careful. I want to start by telling the biggest miracle. I mean, it's a big miracle for me. It might not be a big miracle to you, but it was to me. I was out walking. This is really a part of the weapons of our warfare. But for years, I've thought about One day I was thinking about the One World Order, the drones and the chemtrails and all the stuff that the deep state is pouring out upon us to try to kill us or to cause allergies or cause sickness. I was thinking about that, and the Lord said, take up the shield of faith. And so another time I'd been sneezing, and I felt like I was thinking about all this. And the Lord said, take up the shield of faith, and I did, and the sneezing stopped. And so God had been giving me little glimpses of it. But I was out walking the other day, and I live about a half a mile from the road, and I have a gravel road, and there's trees, and then when you come out of the trees, you go down the gravel road about a fourth of a mile or a third of a mile, probably a fourth. And as I was starting to come out of the trees, I heard this tractor in my pasture. And they were mowing hay, and it was dusty, and the dust was so thick you couldn't see through it. So I thought, well, I'll wait till the dust clears, and then I'll start walking down the road. And so about the time I got partway down the road, the dust was so thick you couldn't see through it. And so as I was walking down the road, I heard the tractor was coming back around the pasture, and the wind was blowing toward my road, and it was blowing, the dust was so thick. I mean, I would have had to not just walk a few feet in dust. It was like having to walk a fourth of a mile in thick, thick dust that you couldn't even, dirt you couldn't see through, Martin. And so I just said to the Lord, Lord, I don't want to breathe that. And I said, Lord, I ask you to put an impenetrable barrier around me. And I hold up the shield of faith, and I block that. And it was like a miracle. The wind shifted, and it was in a straight line down the road. And it was like a wall of dust went that way. And I didn't have to breathe not one drop of it. I mean, that was the hugest miracle to me. God taught me that the shield of faith is more real than this building you're in. You can't see it with the human eye. But God says, take it up. It's a part of the armor. And so that really encouraged me about the shield of faith. And so I wanted to share that with you because that was a miracle for me. I mean, it was like a straight line of dust. It was like a straight line dust wall that went up, parting of the Red Sea. It just went that way. That was huge. But anyway, that's a part of the armor, and it's real. And you can take up the shield of faith. So a lot of times when I see the chemtrails, I hold up the shield of faith and I say, Lord, I block all of the chemtrails from the saints all over the earth. And so we need to do that. I block the allergens, the viruses. They're pouring viruses out. I mean, Randy saw, was it last night, Randy, when you saw them? Yesterday he saw the chemtrails. They were putting, spraying them everywhere.
Painting the sky.
Painting the sky with them. And so we don't have to fear those things because we have the whole armor of God. But anyway, that's not the message, but I wanted to share that. And what I want to share today is on mental attitude. And this is something that affects all of us. Is Bobby in here? Bobby, do I have permission to share about you a little bit, what I shared with you this afternoon to encourage people?
Go ahead.
Okay. I should have asked you in private, but I didn't see you till now. Okay, but a good mental attitude affects all of us. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, as the man goes, what he thinks in his heart is what he is and what he thinks. And someone said that a good mental attitude is better than mental ability, because what you think in your heart is what you are, is what's going to happen. You're going to get exactly what you think. Having a good mental attitude is really telling the world, or having a bad attitude is telling the world what you expect from life. And you'll get no more than that and no less. And, you know, your expectations of life really come in on how you were trained up. And I know some of you think, oh, she's always talking about how you're trained up. But let me tell you something. It affects all of your life.
It does.
It does, and we just need to keep on hearing it. But your foundation is how you were trained up. If you know about this sweater is kind of hot, but I can't take it off. Maybe it's the fire of the Holy Ghost, the true fire, right? I don't want the other. Did you know the fire will either purify you or destroy you? But the true fire of God will purify your life. And if they're trying to give you a false fire in some of these false revivals, The false fire will destroy you. If it was truly the fire of God, it would be purifying you. But they're not teaching repentance, so there wouldn't be no purification. Praise God. But anyway, how you're trained up sets a default. For example, you know about a default on a computer. You can type a letter and use any font you want to use, but the minute you go to another letter or to another document, the computer will switch it back to the way of the default, the way the factory set it. You and I were factory set by how we were trained up. Because you train up a child in the way he should go, and when his life, he won't depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should not go, and that's how his life goes. And so how you're trained up sets a default, and here we are trying to break out of these defaults, and we keep getting kicked back to the way we were trained. And so if you grew up in a dysfunctional family, in fact, it doesn't even have to be dysfunctional. You know, I had a good mom and dad, and I thought I was trained up probably as good as anybody could be trained up. But there were defaults set in my life. Maybe feeling rejection, and that was probably like a generational rejection. But it sets a default, and how you're trained up causes you to expect from life how you're trained up. Like, for example, if you're not loved, you don't expect to be loved. And you think in your heart, you're determined, I'm going to find somebody that loves me. But that default keeps kicking me back to the same old thing of receiving rejection or not receiving love or being hated or not valued. Or so that default is an expectation that your life is going to go the way you expect. And if we want our attitudes and hearts to be different, if we want life to be different, we have to change what's in our heart. And we can do that through healing and through deliverance. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. And so we expect from life how we were trained up. If you were trained up in poverty, you might think, well, when I grow up, one of these days, I'm going to have money. But that default, because I judge my parents for being poor, keeps kicking me back into poverty. Because I expect that. If you grew up being valued and nurtured and loved and affirmed, then you feel good about yourself. And how you feel about yourself is what you project to other people. And so you'll get what you expect, no more and no less. And the only limit to the power of God lies in us, you and I. God is almighty. He's all powerful. He's limitless in his resources. But we limit him by our poor mental attitude. We need to have the attitude, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. I overcome by the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony. And I love not my life. And so a lot of times we leave that love not my life off, but that's a part of overcoming. Is giving up your life, because Jesus said if you give up your life, you find it. You hold on to your life and you lose it. And so our attitude determines what we receive. Proverbs 23:7, I already said this. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, so the man goes as he thinks in his heart. Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be there removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he will have what he says. And so we have all this negativity stored down in our heart, all this unbelief and doubt. And so when we speak to the mountain, it doesn't leave because we doubt in our heart. It's easy for us to confess what we think down in our heart. It's easy for us to confess that. So if we have doubt, it's because there's something been stored down in my heart that has created doubt. So I have to keep working on that doubt until it's gone, but through repentance and through deliverance. You know, through repentance and deliverance, I need to become the person that expects the best from life instead of the worst. And it's going to take, it's a process. It's like peeling an onion. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes people want deliverance right then, and you do get delivered. You know, when I pray for somebody and they get delivered, and then they'll come back a few days later and say, well, you know, the pain's come back. What I do is I say, okay, well, let's ask the Lord to show us and work on the next layer. And it's like peeling an onion. And so, a thought precedes a deed.
I might be sitting in my living room and being really nice, not overeating, and then I'll have this thought, there's ice cream in the freezer. And so I go and get it. You know, I have to think. I have to start lusting in my heart. The Bible says lust comes out of the heart too. And so every person, you know, all of us want to be loved and respected. And one of the things I told Bobby today, and I tell you, we can't be a people pleaser, because people pleasing will get you in trouble. You've got to be a God pleaser. You've got to be so strong in the Lord that if you were facing a firing squad, you would not give in or renounce Jesus. You see what I'm saying? And we as believers might face that one of these days. Where they'll say, I'm going to kill you if you don't renounce Jesus Christ. Well, you'd have to say, kill me. But if you're a people pleaser, you'll do, just, I'll do whatever you say, just don't kill me. You see what I'm saying? We have to be willing to give up our life. And so what we don't see, we all want to be loved. We all want to be cared for. That's just natural. That's built in us to want to be loved and accepted by our fellow man and to be acknowledged. But we'll never have that till we give it out, till we think that about our, until we have a mind, a mental attitude, and it begins within myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or I can think I can do nothing. You know, you can make, and I told Bobby this today, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're in it. For example, it's not fun to be in an institution. I can understand how Bobby feels. But let me tell you something. You have to make the best of where you are. Yeah. You have to learn contentment where you are. And when you can change your attitude, make that place a place where you tell people about Jesus.
Yeah.
If you put, you know, I've often thought, you know, I'd hate the thought of anybody ever putting me in an old folks home. But if I'm ever put there, you know what? I'm going to make the best of it. Yeah. I'm going to tell everybody in there about Jesus. I'm going to use it as an opportunity for the gospel wherever I'm at. And I remember in earlier years, you know, I wanted to quit work. I was working at North Dallas Bank, and I wanted to quit work and be a stay-at-home mom, but finances wouldn't allow it. And I was very discontented. I just hated it. And one day, somebody said to me, until you learn contentment where you are, you'll never be moved out. So I just decided that I'm going to start using it for the Lord, started witnessing to people, forgot all about it, and next thing I know, I was moved out of there. So that's the best thing, that's the quickest way to get out of where you are, is to change your attitude, have an attitude of gratitude that you got a roof over your head, that you're being cared for. You know, we can be bitter, we can be resentful, we can make our life heaven or we can make it hell, depending on how we respond to our circumstances. You can radiate joy and happiness, or you can radiate misery and negativity. And that's certainly not God. Whatever we give, we're going to get. You get love, you're going to give love. If you give love, you're going to receive love. You give hate, you're going to receive hate. You give bitterness, and you're going to receive bitterness. The Bible says by your standard of measure, it'll be measured back to you. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I was thinking about some people. I was thinking about some things that they had done over the years that I felt like I'd forgiven them for. But I thought, you know, by their standard of measure, it's going to be measured back. And that's God's problem, and it's not mine. My part is to forgive, to walk in love, to be kind, and to treat others the way I want to be treated, and leave the rest to God. And we'll never receive warmth or kindness or love until we begin to give it out. And so that's one thing you can do, Bobby, is you can start giving out love, start having the right attitude, start proving to them that you are going to walk in love and use it as an opportunity for the gospel. And then you won't be living a life that you think is purposeless. It's got a purpose. Does that make sense? Use it for the gospel. Bible says without contentment, your godliness is nothing. Godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And this is just one reason Jesus said that we have to love Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our body, and our neighbor as ourselves. Because we can't love others till we can love ourselves. And the reason we don't love ourselves is an unloving spirit, and I'm going to take you through some deliverance at the end for an unloving spirit. An unloving spirit is a spirit that nitpicks you 24/7, and you think it's you. It masquerades, the voice masquerades that it's you talking to you, and it's not you, it's a demon spirit. And it tormented me for probably until about 20 years ago, I was tormented by that spirit. But you don't have to have it. When I realized that it was a demon talking to me and it wasn't me talking to me, it had to take a hike. And it's so much more peaceful living without that unloving spirit, that spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. And you can tell a lot about a person by observing his attitude. His attitude about his job, his finances, his circumstances, where he's at, his mate, his children, his family, his co-workers, his job. And basically you can tell just by his attitude toward life in general. Now that has to be changed in us if we're going to be successes, if we're going to overcome. Those things have to be changed. And people who are mean and hateful and vindictive and catty, we all know people like that. I've said of some people they'd rather climb a tree and be ugly than stand on the ground and be nice. Have you ever said that about anybody? Lord, forgive me for saying that. Especially about the person I said it about. My mother. Lord, would you please tell my mother I'm so sorry. I never apologized to her for that. You know, sometimes people that are enablers, and my mother was an enabler, people that are that enable you, they gripe. That's what they do. They fuss and they gripe. They just need to say, this is the way it is. Straighten up or take a hike. But they have a tendency to nag. And so we forgive our mothers, and Lord, forgive us for being enablers. As long as you enable your children, they're never going to change. They don't need a Savior as long as you're paying their bills and putting a roof over their head and paying their light bill and supporting their drug habit. They're never going to change. Matthew 5:8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall discern God. The more confident a person is about their value, the nicer they treat others. Basically, the better they treat the world in general and the better they treat themselves. I know there was a generational spirit of rejection, and I felt rejected because I, in the area of being fat, because I started gaining weight when I was a kid, when I was about probably 7 or 8 years old, and for about the next 5 years, I just felt rejected, and it had to do with that. But there was a generational rejection that came down in the bloodline. And when I was pastoring a church, for some reason, I felt led to look up all the words cut off, rejected in the Bible. And I had a stack of computer sheets about that high. And prior to that, I would go, when I was pastoring Lindale would have a pastor's meeting once a month where all the pastors would congregate. And I would go to that meeting, and I always felt like there was a resistance, like I was on the outside looking in. And so I went through that whole list of cut off, rejected, of all the words in the Bible that had to do with rejection or cut off, and I repented over all of them. And then after that, I didn't think anything of it because I didn't do it for the minister's meeting. But when I went into the minister's meeting, they said, oh, Jerry McGee, how are you? Where'd you come from? We've been missing you. And I was going, who are they talking to? Because I wasn't used to that. I would always feel like if I was in a group of people that I was on the outside looking in. And that had to do with the spirit of rejection. I don't feel that way anymore, but I got lots of deliverance. And I've never taught that here because it's just hundreds of scriptures. And sometimes people get wore out after a little while. So the more confident we are of our own value, the better we treat others and the better we treat ourselves. We treat ourselves the way we were treated. And a person can't be unloving in his deeds and wonderful on the outside. You know, a person that's mean, vindictive, hateful, rude, catty, somehow this stuff has gotten stored down in their heart. And it's no excuse for meanness or cattiness or a critical heart. There's no excuse for it. But it got there through these things being stored in our heart through our own childhood experiences. And so, you know, Jeremiah 1 tells us to pull down, uproot, and pluck out. And the way we do this is deliverance and inner healing so that we can be more, you know, we're getting delivered so we can be more like Jesus, to where we can be more pleasing to Him. That's why I want deliverance, because the more deliverance I get, the more pleasing I can be to Him, the more I can walk in victory.
And thank God he said that we can do that. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we can't be unloving in our deeds and nice and wonderful on the outside. Big people are kind, courteous, they're happy with themselves. And because they're happy with themselves, they not only reflect the love of Jesus, but they also reflect how they see themselves. You know, I can almost tell just talking to people if they grew up with a lot of love, because it's easier for them to love because they were loved. So one thing I'll say about my cousin Lorna, she grew up with love, and I tell you, we really would be a mess if we had grown up in trauma. You know what I'm saying? But she has a lot of love in her heart for people because she grew up being loved. You can also talk to people and just tell just by their demeanor if they were dominated, if they were controlled, if they had an Ahab spirit, or if they had a controlling spirit. You know, it's easier for a good person, a mature person in the Lord, it's easier for them to overlook meanness in others because they themselves have a pure heart toward other people. It's easier for them to forgive because they're not underhanded themselves. You know, because, in fact, this kind of person would be more apt to say if Lorna said, you know, so-and-so was really rude to me, or they did this or they did that. This person would say, well, you know, I don't think they really meant it. You know, probably they overlook it because they're not underhanded themselves. And this bears witness in Titus chapter 1, verse 15. It says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unloving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their conscience are defiled. To the pure, all things are pure. So the purer our heart is, the purer we see other people. But if we've got wrong motives, then we have a tendency to be suspicious of everybody because of our own heart. Psalms 18:26 says, with the pure you show yourself pure, and with the crooked you show yourself astute, which is perverted. And so we can either let happiness and joy radiate from our life, or we can let meanness and negativity, which would be just the opposite. And people are going to treat you like you treat yourself. And you're going to get treated like you treat others. You know, Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. That was not only a commandment, but he was saying how you treat others is how you will be treated. And so we can easily forgive, knowing that vengeance is God, he repays. And what a man sows, he's going to reap more later in the same thing. And that goes with us and the people that have hurt us. And isn't it amazing, sometimes we reap through the people we love the most. Negative people see the world from their own reflection, and they receive exactly what they're projecting. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that a person's positive attitude is because of his position in life, and it's just the opposite. A person's success or position in life has to do with his attitude. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, if I had that big house, I could be happy too. I could have that good attitude. Or if I had all that money, I could have a good attitude too. No, it works just the opposite. You have these things because of a good attitude, not because of a negative one. Because you have what you say. To the pure, to have pure thoughts and pure motives, our heart has to be purified. And so what must I do? Get through repentance, confessing your sin. If you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Through repentance and through deliverance, become the person that expects the best from life and not from the world. You know, a person with a negative attitude expects from the world. And so God wants to reinforce our life. He disciplines every son whom he loves. He wants to correct the mistakes our mothers and fathers made. And you know, it begins with having a good attitude begins with salvation. Because the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. When we receive Jesus, and I don't mean just praying a prayer and believing in your head, I mean being born again, you have the mind of Christ. And the scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, confess what God's word said over you instead of your negativity, what comes out of your heart. Because what's in your heart comes out your mouth, and what you think comes out of your heart. The Bible says that evil thoughts proceed from the heart, evil words proceed from the heart. And those of us who minister deliverance, you can always know what to pray for somebody by listening to what comes out of their mouth. Because what comes out of their mouth reveals what's down in their heart. And the scripture says in Matthew 12, by your words you're justified, by your words you're condemned. Why is that? Because your words reveal and reflect what's truly in your heart. You've heard people, Lorna and I laugh about this, if you say, well, I was just joking. No, you weren't, because it's coming out of your heart. So don't say, the scripture says in Proverbs, don't say you were joking, because that's a lie, because what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. So we need to deal with what, we need to listen to what comes out of our mouth, and listen to what, pay attention to what we think. And God tells us to take our thoughts captive. And you can't take your thoughts captive if you don't find out how they got there. So, for example, if you're thinking something negative all the time and that's something that you continually think, then you need to first take your thoughts captive. But if it keeps coming back, you need to find out what was planted down in your heart. Deal with it, and then you can take your thoughts captive. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are right, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever is of good repute, think on these things. If there be anything excellent and worthy of praise, think on these things. Think on the Word of God. Job 4:17 says, can a man be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? And of course he can, through confessing our sin. You know, part of working out your salvation with fear and trembling is to find out how all these words that come out of your mouth, how they got there, all the negative things you think, how it got there, and start dealing with these things, these heart issues, because when you deal with it, it's no longer in your heart. If you just, you know, you say, well, I'm going to quit cursing. I'm going to quit saying this. I'm going to quit saying that, but it keeps coming out. If that's the case, you need to find out how it got there. Did your daddy curse? Was it a generational thing? Did you get all these curse words listening, watching TV? I tell you, you can be a person that never thinks a curse word at all and start watching TV, and I'm telling you right now, those words will be coming up in your mind. Yeah. They're planting seeds. The Word of God is seed, and words are seed. And so what you plant, that's why God tells you to watch over your heart. Be careful what you allow to be planted in your heart, because what you plant is what's going to come up. If it's perversion, if you don't want, you know, someone the other day told me they had a spirit of lust. And I said, well, do you watch things that promote lust? Do you watch sexual movies? Do you watch movies that cause you to lust? You're planting seeds of lust. As long as you're doing that, you're never going to get delivered. You've got to set your mind on things that are pure, lovely, and of good report. And then you can take your thoughts captive. So the basic problem in all of our lives, there's no excuse for our behavior. We're accountable for our own behavior, but how we're trained up sets the default. And I mentioned an unloving spirit, but it's self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. It's a spirit that masquerades as you. You put up with it because you think it's you talking to you. The one I used to have used to say fat, tormented me day and night, fat, 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 fat. And everybody has one that says something that tears them down, nitpicks them 24/7, and it's an unloving, evil spirit. It's self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, self-contempt, okay. Self-rejection, unforgiveness of self. And it's a voice that talks to you, and it's not you. So why don't you stand up and think about, I want you to think about what you hear. The voice that nitpicks you 24/7, what does it say to you? Bobby, are you going to stand up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth that sets me free.
Amen.
What does this demon say to me 24/7? How am I getting nitpicked? Usually comes into the parent most like you. Have you noticed if you have children, you have a problem with the kid most like you because you don't like yourself? So you don't like what you see in that kid, and so the kid picks up rejection. And that's where that unloving spirit comes in.
It's an antichrist spirit. It tears down everything God wants to build up in you. Does it say you're a failure, you're a loser, you're a mistake, you don't belong here, your life has no purpose? Whatever it says, I want you to ask the Lord, did your mother or your father, did they pick on you all the time? Forgive them. And this day, what time is it?
3:40.
3:40 at 3:40 p.m. Say it, 3:40 p.m., November 25th, 2017. I accept myself.
I
forgive myself.
I
accept my circumstances that are unchangeable at the moment. Forgive me for hating myself, being bitter toward myself, listening to the voice that tears me down. In Jesus' name. And I forgive myself. I accept myself as fearfully and wonderfully made. I am your workmanship, Lord, created in Christ Jesus unto good works that you prepared beforehand that I should walk in them. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Praise you, Lord. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Thank you that I'm your child, Lord.
Thank you that I'm your child.
Thank you that you have a plan for me.
Thank you that you have a plan for me.
Thank you that your plan for me is not wasted.
Thank you that you have a plan for me.
Because, Lord, I submit to you, the potter.
Lord,
I get on the potter's wheel.
Lord,
forgive me,
Lord,
for not seeing the place where you put me. Not using that for your glory and honor. Forgive me for not telling people about you. Forgive me for fear of man that brings a snare. Forgive me for being a people pleaser. Now I tell you, demon, you antichrist spirit, you voice that nitpicks me 24/7, get out of me in the name of Jesus. Get out of every person in this room. I command you to leave now. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. I command you to go now. Go, go, go in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. You have to leave. Self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, bitterness, anger, hostility, go, resentment, go in Jesus' name. Rebellion, antichrist, get out now in Jesus' name. If you'll just be saying in your heart, forgive me as I say these things, you'll get a greater deliverance. In the name of Jesus, I command tormentors to go, unforgiveness to go. I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus. Anger, go in Jesus' name. Sickness, distress, disease, go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, self-condemnation, self-hatred has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. That voice that talks to me that's not me, you demon power, get out now. You demon that nitpicks me, out in the name of Jesus. Get out in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. You're the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God, are you? Bow down before him, love and adore him. Your name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Okay, you can sit back down. And then we're going to talk about the defaults. I want you to think about how you were trained up. Were you loved? Were you nurtured? Did you grow up in poverty? Did you grow up in a dysfunctional family? How do you see your life? What are you thinking about yourself? How you were trained up? Because we want to break those defaults. Sometimes it's a process of breaking defaults. There's a little boy I'm ministering to someplace up north. I don't even know what town he's in. But he was satanically richly abused, and his mother said to me the other day, she said, his behavior, sometimes he does good and then he falls back into some of those defaults. And I said, well, they have to be broken one by one, and it's a process. But as you break that default, the way you break it is you forgive your parents for everything they did to you that trained you up in a negative way. And you put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between yourself and that default. Forgive your parents. Now, you know, you're not blaming your parents, okay, because they probably grew up in a negative way themselves. But what you're doing is you're taking accountability for your wrong responses to how you were treated. You understand that? Some of you were molested, and I had one man say, well, why should you repent if somebody molested you? I said, well, you're not repenting of the molestation, but I mean, you could be partly guilty, because sometimes a little girl wants attention or a little boy wants attention, they don't get it from their daddy, and they'll side up to somebody and then they get molested, and then they feel guilty, and of course they do have to take accountability for that. But you don't have to. If somebody has physically, verbally abused you and you've done nothing, then you are forgiving your parent. But you're also asking God to forgive you for your wrong response to whatever went on, because you let the sun go down on your anger. That's a wrong response. So when you were trained up in a negative way, what happens is that you make an inner vow. You promise yourself, when I grow up, I'm going to not be poor like my mother and father. When I grow up, I'm going to find somebody that loves me. I'm going to find someone who values me, appreciates me. And you really turn into an idol. And that idol sets you up to continually reap the same thing you promised wasn't going to happen. So it's an expectation. So the bitter judgment is letting the sun go down on your anger, not forgiving your parents by sundown. The scripture says, wherever your parent does not train you up in the way you should go, he provokes you to anger. Now, there's no parent that trains their child up perfectly, because parents are human. And so wherever your parent doesn't train you up in the way you should go, he provokes you to anger. And you let the sun go down on your anger. And see, the proper response would be, Lord, I forgive my mother and father for not nurturing me. I forgive them for not loving me, for rejecting me. But see, children don't know to do that. So they turn to an inward promise that when I get out of this house, life's going to be different. And that judgment they make on their parents set in motion forces for them to keep on reaping the very same thing. And until you deal with mother-daddy issues, there's never going to be any complete healing. Because how you see your mom and dad, unconsciously, you're seeing God the same way. So why don't you stand up and ask, why don't you think about how you were trained up and the violations of the Word of God. I want you to think about the violations of the Word of God and how you were trained up, and forgive your parent for each of those things. And then we're going to break the judgments and the expectations that would cause your life to go the way. When you have a bitter expectation, the bitter judgment is the judgment you make on your parent when God tells you to honor your mother and father that all may be well with you. So wherever your life's not going well, you didn't honor your mother and father, and that means to forgive them by sundown. And so when we don't do that, we have a bitter judgment that causes me to reap the same thing I've judged. And with that comes an expectation that life's going to go the way of my expectation. For example, if you grew up with a controlling mother, maybe men that grew up with a controlling mother, they have an expectation that all women are controlling like their mother. And guess what? If they don't forgive their mother, they'll marry a controller. It's almost always true. You'll either marry somebody like your mother or father if you judge them, or you'll be like them yourself. So, you know, a way to heal a marriage is if you have a problem with the other, is go into your prayer closet, because it's no use trying to tell each other what they need to do to make you happy. Go in your prayer closet and say, how does this relate to my own childhood? I wish I'd have known that. I would have had a happier marriage had I known that. But I thought it was the turkey I was living with. Praise the Lord. I take marriage serious. I really do. That's one reason I'm staying single. No, I'm staying single because God's got me that way. And that's, I'm perfectly happy. So praise God. So Father in Jesus, go ahead and stand up. And I tell you, I honor good marriages. I really do. Patty and Kevin have the happiest marriage, and Barbara and Merrill, and those of you, I know Nikki now has a wife that they can be unified, and Callie and Randy and everyone else I know in here that has a good marriage. I honor good marriages. But my concern is I might have not have another one like I had. No, whatever God wants. If He wants, you know what? If God wants me to live miserable the rest of my life, I want to please Him. Amen?
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. Bless you, Jesus. I might as well share this. When my son died of AIDS, I used to think, you know, I don't know how I can forgive this man for the way he treated my son. But when he died, I just said, Lord, when my son died, I just said, Lord, my heart's bankrupt. There's nothing about this man that I can even like or love or respect. But God, I love you, and I will live this way the rest of my life to please you. But God, you are love. And I've read all the books about love. And I've done all the things to do to try to love. But God, it's not there. You are love. And if you want me to love, you put the love in my heart. And I can tell you He did. Amen. So God is love, but you have to choose to go God's way. He'll put the love there. If you're in a marriage and you have a problem, once at a seminar, the couple came up to me and husband was madder than a hornet. I said, "Well, what is it about your wife you don't like?" And he said, "She is controlling." And I said, what was anybody else in your life controlling your mother? And he went, my mother. So I led him to forgive his mother. And then I asked her, I said, what is it you don't like about your husband? She said, well, he lies and he's irresponsible. And I said, well, was your dad and mother that way? She said, my dad was exactly that way. She forgave her dad and they walked off holding hands. I'm going to tell you, that's how to heal a marriage, is find out how this relates to your own childhood. Because 99% of the problems in a marriage has to do with an unresolved mother-daddy issue. And if you're married and you're having a problem, that mate is mirroring what you haven't forgiven your mother and father for. Okay? I wish I'd have known all these words of wisdom. Yeah, I'm a little bit.
You gotta help me.
Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. We thank you. Okay, Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth that sets me free. It is your truth that sets me free. Praise the Lord. Let me say this before you repent. I remember a lady called me from Oklahoma. She was a pastor. And she said, I'm getting ready to have hip surgery. And I just came to my mind. I said, well, when you were a child, did you have to carry your brothers and sisters on the hip? Did you have to take care of them? Because you see a little girl carrying her brothers and sisters on the hip. She said, yeah, how do you know? And I said, how'd you know? And I said, well, the Lord just told me. And I said, and now that you're a pastor, you're carrying everybody on your hip. And she said, you don't have to pray for me. I'm already healed. The truth set her free because she forgave her mother and father that she had to be the mama and she had to be the daddy. And she was bitter about that. And now she was trained up. The default was set. She had to carry everybody on her hip. And so now she's a pastor and she's carrying everybody. So however you're trained up is how your life goes until you deal with it. So thank you, Lord, for the truth that's setting me free. What do I need to repent of, Lord? In Jesus' name, tell me how I grew up, what I expect from life, because, Lord, I want that negativity gone. I want to have the mind that was in Christ Jesus according to your word. I want the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid you'll get it wrong, because tomorrow the Lord might show you something else. It's okay to make a mistake. You can sit down when you're through, but don't sit down until you are. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me for ingratitude. God, forgive me for kicking against my circumstances. Forgive me for discontentment. Forgive me for bitterness. resentment over how my life has gone. Forgive me for thinking that I got a raw deal in life. Forgive me for being angry at you, God. I forgive my parents for training me up to expect the worst instead of the best. Lord, I ask you to break those demonic defaults as I've forgiven. If you've forgiven your parents for each thing the Lord's shown you, forgive my parents. And Lord, we break those demonic defaults in Jesus' name that would draw them to experience the very thing that they expect in a negative way. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, forgive me. I want a pure heart, Lord. Forgive me that my thoughts haven't been pure. My words haven't been pure. Lord, forgive me for thinking negatively in my heart. I ask you to deliver me and help me repent of every negative thing in my heart.
Yes.
So that as I think in my heart, so I'll go. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for doubt in my heart and unbelief. And bitter towards you, thinking your word don't work. When I spoke to the mountains in my life and they didn't move, Lord, it wasn't your fault. It was that I doubted in my heart. So, Father, I ask you to forgive me for unbelief and doubt. Forgive me for wanting to give up and quit. I forgive my parents for planting negativity down in my heart. Lord, each thing I've forgiven them for, forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger. Every place they violated the word of God in training me up, forgive me for my wrong response to the treatment. Forgive me for turning to an idol, a promise I made myself, Lord, that has set me up to reap the very thing that I hated. And I just repent. I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and this reaping process and between me and this default. I ask that this default be broken in the name of Jesus. Forgive me for thinking people's attitude is determined by their success in life. It's just the opposite. Lord, forgive me for thinking that a person is successful because of his position in life, rather than to know, Lord, it's because of a wrong attitude or a right attitude. Forgive me for not loving you with my whole heart, my whole mind, my whole soul, my body. And forgive me for not loving my neighbor as myself. Forgive me for being mean and hateful, vindictive, catty, critical, suspicious, resentful. Forgive me that my heart hasn't been pure. I ask you to purify my heart.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. I praise you, Lord, that you know the plans you have for me. They're for good and not for evil, to give me a future and a hope. Lord, because I haven't had a pure heart, my thoughts haven't been pure. I've been defiled and unbelieving. Lord, forgive me for allowing my mind and my conscience to be defiled. Forgive me for being perverse and crooked, which would cause you to show yourself as perverted. You're not perverted, but Lord, we get what we give. Forgive me for giving out hatred and meanness and not giving love. Forgive me for not making the best of my circumstances by having a right attitude. Forgive me for not living an overcoming life. Forgive me for holding on to my life. I've been losing it. I ask you to forgive me. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to show me how to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, through repentance, through deliverance, to expect the best of life instead of the worst. I break every expectation that I'm going to have negative results. I break every negative confession that I cannot do anything, that I'm a failure, I'm no good, there's no purpose, I'm a waste, I'm a mistake. That's a lie. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for my life. Thank you that your plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Forgive me for thwarting your plans and purposes. Lord, forgive me for not thinking on things that are true and honorable and lovely and of good report. excellent things, things worthy of praise and good repute. Forgive me for not thinking on these things. In Jesus' name. Thank you that I can have a pure heart before you. And I praise you, Lord. Lord, I just yield to you, the potter. I get on the potter's wheel. Forgive me for trying to control the potter's wheel. Forgive me for trying to turn the potter's wheel. Lord, I yield to you, the potter, and I thank you that you do all the work. All my job is to surrender to you. I come against an unloving spirit. I break every bitter root judgment, every bitter root expectation, and all defaults I break in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to reset those defaults to righteousness, to truth, to holiness. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I take accountability. Pray with me for everything I've confessed, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life. Through the things I've confessed, I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, and I cut off soul ties with every person concerned, with mother, father, with every person that's abused me or hurt me in the name of Jesus. Treated me wrong, and Lord, forgive me for treating other people wrong. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We come against every spirit that came in through the sins they've confessed. In Jesus' name, we come against hatred, variance, strife, emulation, bitterness, resentment, tormentors. We command you to go. Fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, depression, despondency. We come against negativity, ingratitude. We command you to go now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we break the power of every lie, that their life is worthless, that their lie is no good. In the name of Jesus, they forgive their mother, father for their negative training up. Forgive them for their wrong responses. Forgive me, Lord, for letting the sun go down on my anger. In Jesus' name, forgive me for turning to false gods. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. You said I'll have no other gods before you. Forgive me for loving other things more than I love you. Forgive me for loving myself more than I love you. In Jesus' name, forgive me for not being willing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow you. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. And I want us to pray for Bobby. And Bobby, God has given me a revelation concerning you. And that is, you have to make the best of where you're at.
That's right.
You have to have a good attitude. And see, the reason you've been so down on yourself is there's no purpose. You feel like there's no purpose. And there hasn't been, because you've not used it for the gospel. Use the where you're at to win people to the Lord. To tell them about Jesus. Are you hearing me? And that'll give you a purpose. And then you won't mind where you're at, because you'll know your life is counting for something. Now, you know, there may be times that you can't speak out because you might get in trouble. But listen, you can go about as an agent for God and gently, quietly tell people about Jesus. Don't cause a ruckus. Don't cause a storm. But you fear God more than you fear man. And then you won't mind being where you are. And as your attitude changes, who knows what God has for you. The Bible says that God has a plan and a purpose for you. When you were created, you were not a mistake. God knew exactly when you were born what His plan was for you. And because of rebellion and your anger and your bitterness and your resentment, you've not gotten good things from God. So start walking in love, start walking with God, and you're going to see things change. Your attitude will change for sure. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you're going to do it?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's pray for Bobby, okay? Father, we pray for Bobby that he will find a purpose for his life. In the name of Jesus. We pray, Holy Spirit of truth, that you move upon Bobby in the name of Jesus. Move upon every person in this room in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we all have to have a purpose. Otherwise, our life is worthless. And you didn't, Lord, you didn't save us to live a worthless life. You saved us to live a profitable life, a productive life. a life with purpose. And I thank you that every person in this room has a purpose. And Lord, you are the one that shows us what our purpose is. And Lord, it's not on our own agenda, but Lord, thank you that you will lead Bobby's steps, that you will lead our steps. You will lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, we thank you that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, thank you that our cup will run over in Jesus' name with blessings from you. You said, blessed is the man who puts his trust in you. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name. Bless you, bless you, bless you. I think we're getting out early, so you can go take a quick nap before 5. Right? What time is it? 10 after. So, Father, we ask you to bless the food that they will receive at 5 o'clock. We ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for it. God, we're so grateful for good food. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.